Well, welcome today to all of our life churches and all of our network churches. Those of you at all of our campuses at Switch, we love you guys as well. And of course, those of you joining us from countries all over the world at Church Online. Today, I want to do something that's really, really different, but I believe is going to be very, very powerful. What I want to do is read a verse, a few verses, and I want to talk to you about spiritual growth. Then I'm going to introduce to you two friends of mine that I believe can help bring insight into spiritual growth that will help you grow closer to Christ, and not only help you grow, but help empower you to help others grow spiritually. So I'm going to start with Colossians 1, 9 and 10, and then I'm going to introduce our special guests. This is what Paul told those in Colossae. He said, "So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you," I love this, "complete knowledge of his will." I want you to know his will. "And to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding." We're praying that you will know his will and that you will have spiritual wisdom and understanding. "Then the way you live," everybody say "way you live," "the way you live will always honor and please the Lord." Wouldn't it be amazing if the way we lived always honored and pleased the Lord? "And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit." Then he closes it out this way and says, "All the while you will grow." Everybody say "grow." "All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." You will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Today I have with me two special guests that I believe can help you grow spiritually as you know God better and better. The first is the lead pastor of Hillsong Church in New York, one of the fastest growing churches in our country, growing from just a few people to over 5,000 people in just 3 short years. He's one of the best communicators of the gospel that I know. He's involved in discipling some of the greatest NBA players through our country. He actually speaks into the life of Justin Bieber. His name is Pastor Carl Lentz, and I want you to applaud for him in just a moment. We also have perhaps the greatest NBA player of all time, Not only is he an amazing athlete, one of the best who's ever lived, but even more importantly, he's a great man of God. I want to welcome to you today Pastor Carl Lentz and Kevin Durant. Would you welcome them?
Thanks for having us.
You bet. We're super honored to have you with us and so thankful for the impact that both of you all make all over the place. And I want to hear from both of you. You've got a very special friendship. And Kevin, we've been very honored to sneak you in and out the back doors of church when you're in town to give you a place to worship. And I'd love to hear from you first, Kevin, to tell us a little bit about just your spiritual journey.
Well, it's grown a lot, after being this guy. And just many different people in my life that's helped me grow spiritually. And I have to do it myself. I can't rely on too many people. I have to want to do it. And I think just having that urge of wanting to know more, especially about God's grace and love that he has on my life. And maybe I can help more and more people as well. So something I wanted to do, and with a lot of help, I've grown.
You have grown. It's amazing just to watch your spiritual fruit. You're not just a great leader on the court, but you're a great leader for Christ as well. Pastor Carl, you've got a tremendous ministry in New York City and beyond. But what's interesting about you is God has opened up doors of relationships. You're able to speak into the life of Justin Bieber. Mm-hmm. You help with the New York Knicks. You really are kind of like the pastor to the team. You've impacted other athletes. Give us a little bit of advice of how do you reach out to people and engage those who may not be spiritually interested, mm-hmm. but help them become interested in spiritual things.
That's a good question. I think for me, I've never sought a particular type of person. I think we just preached for a couple of weeks at your church about occupying your street. And for me, God handles what the fruit of stuff is, but faithfulness is my job. So when I lived in Virginia Beach, you know, I was sitting courtside at high school basketball games, and we moved to Manhattan, and the closest court was MSG. So I think sometimes people will say, well, I want to be the chaplain of a basketball team. And I say, well, do you run a connect group in your local church? Like, do you know your neighbor? And I think the beautiful thing of Jesus is that he's so appealing that he'll work out the street. He'll work out what you see. But for me, I've always just tried to stay faithful to what God's called me to do and be who I am. I'm kind of like not your typical pastor in some regards. I used to be ashamed of some of that stuff, but then I realized, well, I actually do get along with guys who play basketball and video games. And I get along a lot better with a dude in a club than I do in a pastor's green room, you know, being that guy. And I think it's encouraging to be a part of churches like ours that champion who you are. So whatever you're good at, whatever you love, God needs you there. And so for me, actually, pastors used to make fun of me. They used to say, you need to start playing golf, because that's where the influences are. And I was like, really? Well, I'd rather die than play golf. And I actually thought about it, and I was like, you know, that's just not who I am. So I'm just going to go play ball. And I love basketball. I'm not as good as I used to be. I'm still better than Kevin in many areas of the game. But I think my life is a testament to God just using a regular guy at what is in my hand. And I think everybody can do that. And if you chase certain things, I think that's when it gets weird. Like, I want to be around somebody who's famous, or I want to be around, you know, like Justin Bieber is another example. Justin is a 19-year-old kid who loves Jesus, trying his hardest to make it. And, you know, he's like any other kid we've dealt with, just with some different, you know, he's got one or two more fans than your average person. But I think if you're faithful to what's in your hand, God will help you fulfill what's in your heart. And you don't have to chase anything. You got to just chase Jesus, and his journey is so much better. That's my story.
Yeah, and you didn't always have access to minister to someone like that, but you started where you were with anybody in front of you, and you're faithful. And God, if we're faithful to little, God will trust you with a lot more.
Celebrity means to be celebrated. So I believe everybody is a celebrity because everybody on this planet deserves to be celebrated. So that's how I see it. If you're in my face, I'm going to do everything I can to serve you.
Yeah.
And if I can get a free ticket, so be it.
That's right. Well, Kevin, I wanted to ask you about one of your quotes that I love. You said, hard work beats talent if talent doesn't work hard. Think about that. Hard work beats talent if talent doesn't work hard. You are unquestionably one of the hardest working athletes around. But I want to ask you more from a spiritual standpoint. What do you do spiritually that helps you to grow? What's the hard work that helps you get closer to Christ?
Well, I had to think about that one day, and I was wondering, why am I standing still? And it's not going to just happen with basketball. I didn't just wake up and decide I wanted to be good, and it just happened without me putting that work in. And as a Christian, I just try to do little things every single day to put work in, to know Jesus, to know more about his word, and to grow. And I think I can relate that to basketball and become a better basketball player and a better Christian by always putting in work, just like I did when I was a kid.
So what is that kind of work? Is it like, are you reading the Bible, or are you worshiping or talking to people? What specifically? You're running drills on the court. What's the work for you spiritually?
Just reading the Bible, knowing the word, just trying to switch up things in my life that I was accustomed to before.
Is it the YouVersion Bible app? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Just curious.
Yeah, he got me into doing SOAPs, which is, you know, reading scriptures and observing them and applying them and also praying. So, you know, I just try to do little things, you know, small things every day to keep growing. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of, you know, like Donnie and Carl and a lot of spiritual brothers that help me out. You know, it's definitely when I'm struggling to push me further. So, you know, I'm just blessed to have people in my life.
So how important are the right relationships? Because you probably have some influences that aren't as good and some that are. How important are the right relationships for you?
It's definitely important. You know, one thing I try not to do is get distracted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that bad relationships can definitely get you distracted and get your eye off of God. And I think, you know, if I continue to just have the right people in my life, listen to them, when they be real with me, definitely apply it and try to move forward in my life, then things can change for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, my wife thinks that your fiance is like the right person.
Oh, she's the best.
She thinks like she's the best. Amy like loves her, and so I think you're doing good there.
And
you're good at basketball, but you did kind of out-punch her coverage on that one. She's a pretty good girl.
Yeah, she
you did good.
Join the club.
So that's right. Carl's a better talker, then I mean, you did good
with
your wife. So you're a great leader on the court. You can light a team up. You can, I mean, you fire them up. How do you lead spiritually? You can't overstep your bounds, but yet you can influence your teammates. You can influence fans. You could even influence your coaches. How do you do that without being offensive in your faith?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think back to one of my teammates. He really loved Christ. A few years ago, it was Kevin Ollie. He's a head coach at University of UConn, University of Connecticut right now. And one thing he did is he just led by example. You know, he would go to chapel every single game, and guys were starting to wonder, you know, where was he going? He didn't say anything. He would just get up out of his locker and leave, and guys just started to wonder, you know, where's this guy walking to? And we just started to follow him. So with me, I just tried to come in and set a great example, you know, throughout the facility with my teammates, and hopefully they see a change in me, and they, you know, they get curious, and then from there it's all God's work, and you know, it'll happen.
Mm-hmm. What's really cool is behind the scenes, when people close to you do talk about you, they've always said, "Man, Kevin is an amazing guy. He's the best of the best." But they say the guy's growing spiritually, and other people see it, and I think that's really exciting to hear. I'm so thankful for it. Pastor Carl, you know, you've lit a city on fire. New York City is not the same. Now that you're there, you're reaching a lot of people that otherwise wouldn't go to church. When you're trying to build people in spiritual passion, what do you think are some of the greatest hindrances that get in the way of people growing spiritually?
Man, you're such a good interviewer. You're awesome. Thank you so much, authority. I want to say the right thing. I think, New York City is a good example of, what's possible with the gospel in general. Like Kevin's actually a perfect example in general of somebody who really has attacked his faith. So one of the great things we have in our relationship is honesty. Like, he's really honest. And so if you're having a bad day, let's talk about that. That's actually the day we can grow the most. Good days are great. But what I've seen in New York is that people who will be honest, because we live in a church world where it's like Twitter, you know, show your best, hide the rest. And that is empty and it's hollow and it kills people in church, because you could be sitting in church and you could be hurting, but you're in a church culture that says you can't have any problems or any needs. In our church, we say, you know, come as you are, but love Jesus enough to realize he's not going to leave you like that. So when you come as you are, make sure you're ready to be healed as you were and just walk on into something new. So for me, the biggest thing is seeing if somebody wants it. I've been on the other end of being a pastor, of like trying to convince somebody to want this, you know, more than, I want it more than them. And I remember being a youth pastor one day, just like worrying about some kid who kept drinking. And I remember sitting there missing a date with my wife. And I'm like, this kid is not worried about me right now. I'm here missing time with my wife, and this guy's out there partying. That moment I realized I'm gonna love people who don't want it, and I'm gonna walk with people who do. And a guy like Kevin is just unbelievable. There's a reason why he's the best in the world, no doubt. He didn't have to go chase teammates. You know, he's willing to stay faithful to a team. Mm-hmm. But and I love all that. But there's something to be said for people who will just put in work. And I will hit him, and he knows it's kind of annoying having people in your life that love you, but we'll do scripture stuff every day where I'll be like, where's your scripture? And he's like, I didn't get to it. I'm like, what, do you have something on, like a game or something? Of course you have time to write this, you know, being facetious, obviously, but he's always ready to go, ready to talk. Did you get your Bible in today? Did you talk to this person today? How's your spirit? You know, are you walking in the locker room? Is your head up or is it down? How's the body language when you get the technical, you know? It's like, so it's little stuff that you have to be open for people to be able to talk to you. And that New York is like that to me. New York is tough to get in there, but once you get in there, people are for you. And I think our church is an example of people who are just desperate to know Jesus better. Mm-hmm. That's how Kevin is. That's how I pray I am.
Yeah, so Kevin, I'd love to hear from your perspective. How did Carl earn the right into your life to have the permission to speak to you that directly? Because he's just a pastor guy, and yet you trust him. What did he do? And maybe that can help some of the rest of us to know, if we want to gain influence with maybe the popular person at school or the whatever, how did he gain access to your life? What did he do that built trust in your heart?
Well, I just trusted God on this one. Mm-hmm. And I had a good vibe from him. We played the Knicks. We beat them that game, of course. And I go to chapel every game. And then he came up to me And I was like, who's this thug that want to talk to me about Jesus? I'm sorry, bro, but that's what I was thinking. Right. And had tattoos and everything, so I'm like, okay, that's not the normal preacher. So, but when he started to speak to me, man, it was just, I was mind blown, you know, because he loved him so much and he wanted me to feel his love as well. And from there, it was just history, man. And ever since then, we've been talking and he's been helping me out a lot. And, you know, I trust him.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I think that key word trust is really big. And I think so many times as Christians, people don't trust us because it looks like we have an agenda to push something on them before we show that we care about them. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me, and you have a gift with people. I mean, the first time we met was however many years ago in my office. I didn't know who you were. Someone said, you got to meet with this guy. And I took an hour or whatever. And immediately I trusted you and believed in you. What is it that you do to build trust in a world where people are more skeptical? I don't want to trust. I want to keep everybody at arm's distance. How do you break those walls down?
I think I hopefully I'm a friend who keeps on coming. So I don't get mad at people for feeling as they should. Like a lot of people should feel that way about pastors because a lot of pastors are doing the wrong thing and they do have agendas. So often people will be at distance with me and I'm just going to keep on coming. And I think you keep on coming and you live what you're preaching. I think there's not a lot of room to be skeptical of something you see every day. So I think I'm honest with my faults. I'm honest with my passions. And I hope that I'm a faithful friend. And I think sometimes if you're genuine, you got to give people time to see it. And that forced people to trust you. Why would they trust you? And I think in church, you've been pastoring this church for a very long time. And there are probably people who took years to fully allow their guards down. And I'm up for it. You know, I'm not going anywhere. And I got some friends who are so guarded that I'm cool. I'm not in your life to win you because I can't win you. I'm not in your life to change you. I can't change you. I'm in your life to be loved as I have been loved. And I think that is rare. And if Christians could know you have that X factor, a lot of Christians are trying to be somebody they think that person wants, and that's not what that person needs. The reason why they were attracted to you in the first place is because I'm not, you know, the guy that everybody else, you know, I'm not looking for this or looking for that. I'm just a Christian. So some of you who think you're just a Christian, that's exactly what this world needs, is somebody who just loves Jesus. And I think for me, I'm just going to keep on showing that, and we are who we are.
You can clap for that if you want to, because that's such a good word. One of the things that we do behind the scenes as a staff, I ask the staff to come up with one word that will be their focus for the year. If we've got like five goals, we're not going to get any. But if we narrow it down to one word, one thing we're working on, I believe we can actually accomplish something. And so our word for the church this year was strengthen. What I wanted to do, and if you go back and look at the types of messages that I've preached this year, I was trying to strengthen our church because I believe there are so many new believers that they're tender in their faith. Pastor Carl, when you're discipling a lot of new believers in your church, give me kind of the basic rundown. What do you say to help people build a foundation where they can grow spiritually and become stronger? A lot of new Christians, what advice do you have for them to grow
encourage.
Up?
Encourage. Be encouraged. Because God is better than you think he is. Jesus in his grace is stronger than you think it is. It's amazing. Our whole thing with easy money, you've heard that term with Kevin before. I love telling people when Jesus said, you come to me and I'm going to give you a real rest because this burden is easy. It's lighter than you think. People are always shocked to hear that because I don't know if it's like this in Oklahoma, but if I invite someone to church, they're not like, yes, I'm so excited about that. Because no one equates Jesus or church with anything remotely encouraging, but that's all Jesus ever did. So if I find someone who's new in the faith, it's the same thing when they get old in the faith, that you're okay. Like God loves you, even when you fail. That's when Hebrews says to go to the throne of grace when you need it the most, and there you're going to find it. So for us, it's a battle of always lifting people's heads to go, it's okay. God loves you. His grace is enough for you. And it's not a grace get out of jail free card. It's a when you fail. No, God's grace enables you to get up and change now. Mm-hmm. So be encouraged. Like you're not bound by that sin any longer. You have the right to change. And you're not changing for God's forgiveness. You're changing from a place of forgiveness. You're not going to go do good things because you want God to love you. You're going to do good things because he loves you. Not for it, but from it. And I think people are always like, wow, that's cool. I had a bad week. Well, cool. You didn't have a good relationship with Jesus because you had a good one. You had a good relationship because Jesus gave you that. So in your worst week, God is still good. In your great week, he is still good. So our whole church is about lifting the heads of many.
That's good.
Encourage.
Yeah, I imagine you feel a little bit of pressure in what you do. You've always got to produce. You've always got to perform. You you've got to lead and make a difference. And there are times, you know, we see you, kind of like when I teach, people are like, man, you've got so much confidence and courage and you're bold. And like, you should have seen me crying in my office on Monday.
Right.
And that's the side that they don't often see. Right. When you get down sometimes, or maybe you're discouraged or you have a bad game or whatever, what do you do to encourage yourself, both spiritually and then also just as a leader? What does that look like?
Well, one thing I just remember is what he just said, you know, everything is easy money. That's what he's been calling me since he met me, is easy money.
It's easier money for you than for some other people.
True.
I'm just saying.
Short white guys over here, like, it's tough money.
Give or take, give or take.
No, you know, we know what you're saying.
But yeah, he just, you know, Jesus' joke is easy. That's what he told me from the beginning. And I remember one game we played in the playoffs last year against the Rockets. I was so nervous. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't take a nap before the game. And right before the game, all I kept saying was easy money. And in back of my head, easy money the whole game. And I actually played pretty good. And, you know, I thought to myself, you know, without, you know, hearing that from Jesus, I don't think I could have got through it. And, you know, everything from now on has been just been easy.
Mm-hmm. And so, and that's interesting because, you know, what Jesus talks about, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so often Christianity is perceived from a distance as just a bunch of rules, like, you know, you guys are no fun at all. And yet Christianity looks like it's a little bit of fun to you all. I mean, it looks like there's a joy in it. How has your life, Kevin, been different as a leader and a ball player and an athlete with Christ as opposed to maybe years ago when he wasn't first in your life?
It's just, be honest, man, it just feels like, you know, I'm walking hand in hand with him, with everything. And it's just, it's one of those feelings that you can't describe. It's just fun being a part of, you know, just having people walking with you and wanting the same things you want. You know, everything is just on another level. You know, with basketball, with my family, with my soon-to-be wife, it's just, you know, everything has been fun, man. I just can't really describe it in words. It's something you have to feel.
Mm-hmm. And that really shows just in, one thing I appreciate about you is that, you know, when you're out and you're on, anytime you walk in, you're showing that joy with other people. You stop and say hi to kids. Mm-hmm. You really make a difference in people's lives. And one thing I just want to compliment Kevin on is sometimes when you see someone from afar, you're like, wow, they're really cool. And then you get to know them up close. You're like, I kind of liked them better from afar. And Kevin is not like that at all. No. The closer you get to him, the more you appreciate who he is as a person. And what I want you to know is, I respect the fire out of what you do on the court, but I like you as a person. I like who you are as a person. And I'd just be curious, it's lonely to me when people like me as the preacher. It's meaningful to me when they like me as Craig. Besides basketball, what do you want to be known for?
Well, I want to be known for a guy that serves people, I think. You know, when people see me, they think I deserve something. I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve to be put in the front of the line at the movies or get a free meal. I don't think I deserve anything. And I think for me, I just want to go up to people and impact their lives, whether it's from me inspiring them from playing basketball or just going up and asking them how their family are doing or anything like that. That's why I want to be known as. And also a legacy changer. You know, I didn't grow up with my dad in the household. And I think one of my main goals in life is to become a great dad, somebody that their kids can wake up to every day and be a great husband, and hopefully I accomplish those goals.
Somebody clap for that, because that's big.
Can I tell you a story about Kevin? I think he's so well-spoken. I remember he's the first guy, sometimes I'll say, hey, can you shoot a video for this guy who's hurt or in the hospital? I mean, within the minute, I can't get some of my staff to call me back as fast as Kevin does. And I remember we were playing in a game in downtown New York, and there was just this little guy in a wheelchair who was just covered. He couldn't see anything. And Kevin was doing this huge Nike shoot, and I just said, hey, you see that guy in the corner? He runs over there and just moves everybody out of the way, sits there with this kid. I mean, it was like, it was just the coolest thing ever, because a lot of guys would do that if there was press there. It's what he does all the time. He treats everybody with dignity. And I don't think, I mean, he's the first one to say, you can't do anything about the spotlight, but you can do everything about the faithfulness in the shadows. And I think that would be his story. What you see in that spotlight, it's a reflection of what he's done in the shadows. And I got a million of those stories with him.
Yeah, well, it's so refreshing because there are so many people that our society looks up to for what they do on the court, on the field, when they're singing or whatever. but they're not role models that are really as worthy as looking up to. And I'm really thankful that when my kids get to talk to you personally, that you are who you look like you are, and you're even more so. And I really thank God that He's given you a platform, not just to be great at what you do, but I really believe it's so that you can be a witness for Him everywhere Amen. You are. And I think you're doing that well, and I think it's only the beginning. You're young, you got a lot of life ahead of you. I think God's gonna use you to do incredible things, and so we're blessed by you. I wanna, just for fun, let me give you a lightning round. I'm gonna ask you guys some questions, and then I'm gonna ask you a serious question. Carl, three favorite preachers for you to listen to. Who are your three favorite?
Craig Groeschel, Amy Groeschel, Laura Lentz.
Cats or dogs?
Cats are from the pit of hell.
Glory to God. Favorite late night snack?
Popcorn.
Best band of all time?
Hillsong United.
Kevin, your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Strawberry.
Best reality show on TV?
I don't watch reality TV.
I thought you might say, like, the Thunder. That's kind of reality.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
I'd say that.
That's all that. Favorite verse in the Bible? You have a favorite?
Jeremiah 29:11.
Well, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Good. And what's your best, your favorite pregame pump-you-up song?
Arise by Hillsong United.
There you go. On a more serious note, Carl, first I'll ask you, how can we pray for you?
Just that God continues to give us grace and favor. And we appreciate the prayers we get now. We just need more of God's grace. Thank you for asking.
Kevin, how can we pray for you?
Simply help me continue to keep learning and growing. Help me be an impact on everybody else's lives.
That's a great prayer request. Great through and through. So I'm thankful for you, and thank you for your investment in leaders in our church. And I'm thankful that God has raised you up and given you a platform, not just to win games and give something for our city to be excited about, but to be a witness for Christ in all that you do. Would you all show honor and love to Pastor Carl?
Thank you.
And Kevin?
Thank you.
And now I want to talk directly to you. If it's interesting, I asked Kevin how to pray for him, and he wants to stay focused. He wants to grow with God. And I want to just ask you to think about your life. Are you growing spiritually? Are you progressing and moving forward in the things that matter most? When you wake up, do you wake up thinking about changing your legacy, making an eternal difference, investing your life in things that last? Or do you wake up thinking about temporary things that do not last? God wants to help you to see His will and to grow in spiritual understanding. I pray that you would grow in the grace of God as you know Him better and better. You didn't just come today to hear some great people talk. You came today to let the Spirit of God talk to you, to lead you, that you would grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord as you know Him better and better. At all of our churches, would you take a moment and just pray with me? Father, thank you so much for Pastor Carl and Kevin, the great men that they are. I pray, God, that you would continue to give Pastor Carl and Hillsong grace and favor in every way to impact New York City and beyond. God, I pray that you would continue to increase Kevin's platform, not just so he could stand on top of it and get glory for himself, but that he could give the glory to you and point people to know your son, Jesus. Help him to be focused. I pray for his relationship with Monica, that you would bless it in every single way, that they would continue to put you first, and that he would have his dream come true to be a great dad, to be a great husband, to continue to be a great man of God. Now, Father, I pray that you would impact our church with the wisdom that have come from these great men. Draw us closer to you. At all of our different churches today, as you're reflecting just in an attitude of prayer, I believe some of you, you're going to recognize that you aren't growing in the things of God as you should. Those of you who are Christians, I know some of you are not at this point, but those of you that are, you may say, I really am not growing, and I'm feeling a bit convicted right now that I should. Remember what Kevin said, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Sometimes you have to pursue God, to seek him. When you seek him, you will find him. If God is speaking to you today and you realize, I really want to press into him. Maybe you're not seeking him in his word. Maybe your prayer life is flat or non-existent. Maybe you don't have the right Christian friends around you. Maybe you've simply been distracted. You just got busy and you've lost focus on what matters most. If God is ministering to you today and you want to say, God, I realign myself with you. I want to put you first. I want to step into you, press into you. I want to seek you first. God, help jumpstart the spiritual growth in my life again. If that's you, would you just lift up your hands right now? Just all of our different churches, just lift them up in a moment of honesty. Hands are going up all over the place. God, I thank you so much for our church full of people that want to honor you. God, may our lives reflect you in every single way. God, I pray that even now, that as we have heard a bit of your word and the power of great testimonies, that your Holy Spirit would draw us to love you even more faithfully. God, if we're not in your word, give us a desire to feed on your word. God, if we've drifted from prayer, I pray, God, that we would need you moment by moment, talking to you, depending on you, calling on you, and even listening for your voice. God, if we've got the wrong influence in our lives, convict us to be in a life group, to be planted in a small group of intimate Christian believers, that we could serve you and have a broader impact in the lives of those around us. God, help us to know you better and better and grow in the things that matter most. As you keep praying today at all of our different churches, some of you may say, you know what, you're talking about growing in the things of God, but I'm not even following Jesus. As you listen to Carl and Kevin's story, what's pretty amazing is, if you dig back too far, these guys messed up in a big way in their life, as did I, and we all have. We have all fallen short of God's standard of perfection. And you may feel drawn to the things of God right now. You may see the joy that Kevin has and say, I want some of that. You may see the peace that Pastor Carl has and say, I want some of that. And all that and more than you can ever imagine is available through Christ. Not through religion or not through churchianity or church membership, but through Christ. You may say, but I'm not good enough. And I would say to you, you come right as you are. You come to him and say, forgive me, make me new. And as you do, he will transform you just as he has all those others. At all of our different churches, some of you, you recognize there's something missing in my life. That is a living relationship with a resurrected Christ. As you call on him, he will make you new. And for many of you, that's why you're here today, and you know it. All of our different churches, those who would say, yes, I want to give my life to him. I need his forgiveness. I turn from my sin, and I surrender my life to Christ. If that's your prayer today, would you just lift your hands high right now? Just lift them up and say, yes. All of our churches, that's your prayer. Lift up your hands right now and say, yes, I surrender my life to him. Those of you at Church Online, you click right below me. And as there are people in all of our different churches and network churches and all over the world surrendering their life to Christ at Church Online, would you just join your voices with those around you? Pray aloud. Pray, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Make me brand new. I need your grace. And I need your forgiveness. Jesus, change me. Be the Lord of my life. Fill me with your spirit so I could know you and so I could serve you. My life is not my own. Today I give it to you. Thank you for new life. Now you have mine. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody took a moment to thank God for his goodness. Give him praise, give him honor. Welcome those born into his family today.